Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
From the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. The number is always to jump on in, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You could also give me a follow, shoot me a tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. And also on our networks account at CBS Sports Radio. Have the A team in the house, Mikey B and Tom DiBenedetto as well. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house, it's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Got two guests for you during the next 4 hours. Coming up in about 55 minutes at the top of the hour, Jared Greenberg from TNT is going to stop by, and he's going to go over all the latest in the NBA. And then at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Hall of Fame quarterback from the NFL Network was able to win a Super Bowl with the Rams, did take the Arizona Cardinals to a Super Bowl as well. That is Kurt Warner is going to stop by. I always enjoy when we get to catch up with the Pro Football Hall of Famer. And it's the perfect day to have him because there's so many questions with quarterbacks. And we want to figure out who's coming and who's going. And we also want to figure out a little bit about some of these prospects and what Kurt thinks of them at the QB position with the combine ongoing as well. So let's start with the biggest story of the day. And that's something that's been talked about in great length over pretty much the entire football season, but more so the last month, month and a half. And that is the possibility of Tom Brady leaving the New England Patriots. So what makes this story new? What makes this story different from everything else that we've already talked about? Well, it's some of the reporting that's going on with all these reporters at the Combine and all the NFL personnel at the Combine, where there's a lot of chatter going on. For example, Ben Lieber, who covers the Vikings, used to play for the Vikings, last night was on the show, and he brought up the possibility through some of the chatter he's been hearing at the Combine of the Redskins maybe taking Tua Tagovailoa number 2 overall. And look, that was an opinion late last night from information Ben was hearing. And all throughout the day, other media members heard that as well. And they've been talking because surprise, surprise, when media members and NFL personnel get together, all they do is gossip and talk and throw things around. And today, it's been a big story. Could we maybe see Tua Tagovailoa go to number 2 to the Redskins? The Redskins pass up on Chase Young and then work to move Dwayne Haskins, who they drafted in the first round a year ago. So here's the latest with Tom Brady. And it all started with Jeff Darlington, who's very close to the situation, and he wasn't at the combine, but he was in New York earlier today on Get Up on ESPN. And Darlington, who has said this before, but now he's taken it to a different level and a different, I would guess it would be in more of a emphatic tone is the way that I would describe it, where Darlington said he would be stunned if Tom Brady at this point returned to New England. You remember last week when he was on Schefter's podcast, they were discussing the favorites for Tom Brady. He said Tennessee won. After him and Schefter talked, the feel from Schefter was Tennessee won, the Raiders two, and then the Patriots three. Now, the tone from Darlington, who everyone says is close to the situation, is Jeff Darlington said he would be stunned if Tom Brady returned to New England. He also did go on to say that people very close to Brady have been telling him that the Super Bowl champion of six times with the Patriots is not returning to New England. He's saying Brady is saying that to friends, and friends are then saying it to Darlington. So when I hear that right away, you know what that makes me think? Not necessarily that Tom Brady is leaving the Patriots, but if Brady is talking to his friends who are then talking to Jeff Darlington, and I wonder who these friends are. Because when you look at the Brady camp, you hear people close to him. It's usually his mother, his father, Giselle, and then Alex Guerrero. So I wonder who the people close to Brady are. But when I look at that, the first thing that I thought was not necessarily Tom Brady's leaving, but Tom Brady wants this information out there. He knows how intense the Patriot fans are when dealing with Tom Brady and how much they will defend and fight for Tom Brady. So maybe Tom Brady, since the Patriots haven't talked to him yet about a contract from other reports that we'll get to in just a second, maybe Tom Brady wants to put the public pressure on the Patriots to not just get a year done and have him back coming back next year, but make it a multi-year contract and even possibly a two-year deal. I don't know if it will get up to three. Maybe you put an option in there, something along those lines. I don't know specifically, but that was my first thought. That Brady wants the public pressure on the Pats. They want to create it as if Brady is leaving. Because down deep, I do think that Tom Brady knows the best fit for him next year. And the best thing for his career at this point is to stay with the Patriots. When you look at all the options, and we'll do that in a moment, I still believe 100% with the realistic options that the best option for Tom Brady is to stay in New England. So that's number one. Then you hear Karen Garigian, who has covered the Patriots for a long time. She has said that the Patriots have not reached out to Tom Brady and said it's not looking good. Adam Schefter then sent out a post as well that said one reason why the Pats and Tom Brady haven't had any contract discussions yet is the uncertainty of whether or not there will be a new CBA per sources. Hard to structure a contract without knowing what rules will be. Clarity there is expected to bring contract talks. Once that is known, Belichick and Brady can discuss everything, including how a contract could be structured. Of course, they would be only one aspect of their conversation, but as one source said today, without knowing about the CBA, that talk can't happen. Which I find that interesting, because even if the CBA is maybe delaying this process, don't you still think the Patriots would still make an attempt to talk to Brady? And what do you think Robert Kraft would check in with Brady or Jonathan Kraft? And does that count as talks, you know, and reaching out? Or is it only about contracts? So this CBA stuff is right, that because it's not agreed upon, even though there's a CBA for next year, but it's a year after that, is this really holding the talks and delaying the talks? That I truly don't know. I'll trust Schefter on this reporting, though, because he's one of the best in the business. Also one of the best in the business is Peter King. Who Peter King, I heard him on Dale and Keefe today on WEI in Boston, an Entercom station, and you have Darlington saying he would be stunned if Brady would return. Peter King said he had breakfast earlier this morning at the Combine with, as he said it, a big influencer in the NFL, and when the conversation of Brady came up, that big NFL influencer, whoever that may be, whatever vague title that is, but we know Peter King is very connected, said he believes Tom Brady is definitely going back to New England. So surprise, surprise, you have two ends of the seesaw. One, B be prepared for Brady to leave. He's definitely not coming back. And on the other end of the seesaw, Tom Brady is definitely coming back. I've said this from the start, and you also have the report, too, that Donyi, the Sermon Rappaport, Donyi will meet with the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Colts in Indy. So you have that factored in as well. I've said this from the start, and I'll say it again. Until Tom Brady leaves the Patriots, I'm not believing that he's leaving New England. And when I evaluate all the teams, I think the two options are either staying in New England or going to Tennessee. Because when I look at Tennessee, good offensive line, they have enough weapons, they have a head coach that Tom Brady's close with, and they play in a division that you don't have many roadblocks in the way. Where if you look at some of these other teams, and Brady's about winning at this stage of his career, the Chargers have a big roadblock. You have to face Mahomes twice a year, and then maybe another time in the playoffs. Same thing with the Raiders. Mahomes twice a year, and then maybe another time in the playoffs to get back to a Super Bowl. Because that's how TB12 is defined at this point of his career. Winning Super Bowls. I look at him as the GOAT. He doesn't need to add anything on to that resume. For him, though, to keep on playing, he is judged nationally, success or failure for each season, not only if he gets to the Super Bowl, but if he wins it or loses it. And if he wins it, success, anything else, the season nationally is viewed as a failure. With how accustomed we've been to Tom Brady consistently year after year going to the Super Bowl. Because just look at what the narrative's been this past year. The guy went to the Super Bowl three straight seasons. 28-3 comeback against the Falcons. 505 passing yards and a loss to the Eagles. And then beats the Rams. This year, doesn't get to the Super Bowl. Go 12-4. Edelman not at 100%. Gronkowski no longer there. The offensive line completely banged up. He didn't play great. Wasn't horrible, but he didn't play great. And now some are thinking Tom Brady's shot and he's done. 1 year going 12-4 and not getting to a Super Bowl, not winning a playoff game, and all of a sudden he's done after going through one of the better runs you'll ever see, three straight Super Bowls and two victories. So when I look at these teams, and I still think Tom Brady could play at a good level, and I still think he could win in this league, but when I look at all these teams, the Chargers don't make sense to me. The Raiders don't make sense. Can we stop with the Indianapolis Colts too? With the Deflategate connection, you think he's going back to Indy? And I'll projectile vomit if he goes to Indy. With the Brady-Manning rivalry that it was, he's not going to Indy. Can we stop with the Giants too? The Giants were his kryptonite. He's not joining the Giants. And why would the Giants, why would they go on out there and sign Tom Brady when everyone killed the general manager and Dave Gettleman for drafting Daniel Jones last year at 6? And Jones wasn't horrible last year. He was fine. He was fine. So why would you move on from your young quarterback after 1 year where he was more than fine? It makes no sense why he would go to the Giants. And you just can't envision Tom Brady in the Giants uniform. So can we stop with that nonsense? Can we also stop with the Cowboys? And I don't think he's going to Tampa. So here's what I'm telling you. And here's my opinion. And I could be 100% right, or I could be 100% wrong. I think Tom Brady's either going back to New England, or if he does leave, when I entertain that thought, the team he would go to is Tennessee. With that being said, though, how I believe this will play out is Tom Brady is stirring the pot right now, trying to put the pressure on the Patriots. Eventually, the Patriots will realize having Tom Brady on their football team is the best thing for them, and Tom Brady will realize being on the Patriots next year is the best thing for his career. A deal will get done, and then you will have some fancy Instagram posts or fancy Twitter posts with Brady eating some avocado ice cream or whatever it is, and he will say, I'm not going anywhere. Maybe do a little Bad Boys for Life with a little dancing with Gronk. And he's not going anywhere. It's Bad Boys for Life. And Tom Brady is coming back to the New England Patriots. That's what I say. What say you? The number is always 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Where is Tom Brady playing next year? It's the Zach Yelp Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. And when we come back, we discussed this a little bit yesterday. We mentioned it in the open. What's going to happen with Tua Tagovailoa? And are the Redskins thinking about taking Tua Tagovailoa with the second overall pick in the draft? 16 past the hour, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation.
Kids, gather around. It's the start of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio Year, whatever, on the network.
If I'm doing a show then and we're talking about a run for over two decades and a team that's won six Super Bowl rings, my jaw will be on the floor because I'll be in awe and I'll be in stunned disbelief.
Here's Zach Gelb.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com easy. Eric Rowling on Twitter says, TB12 is laughing at all the media who believes he's actually leaving Kraft already working on the two-year extension. I think Brady's playing a game here. And it's all going back to the clout that he has on social media and how Instagram and Twitter savvy he has become in mastering Twitter, Instagram, and all of social media. And I think he wants that narrative out that, guess what? Maybe I don't want to come back. Let's get the public pressure on the Patriots who are then going to give me a two-year extension. I still firmly believe TB12 is coming back. But just being fully transparent too, when I see all these other reports, it makes you stand there for a second and go, what happens if we get in this odd world that I never want to imagine where Tom Brady is playing for another team? And I asked this question both to Tiki and Tierney today when they were walking around the studio, and Tiki looked at me and basically rolled his eyes and said, Brady's going back to New England. Don't fall into these games. Don't fall into this trap. And Brandon Tierney, he said for a long time he thought Brady was coming back, and today he had one of those, I don't know. Now I don't know with all the reports that are going on out there. Mikey B, you have to make a prediction right now. I give you $100 if you get this prediction correct. Not literally.
I get it.
You get what I'm saying. Maybe I'll give you a gift certificate somewhere.
I'll take it.
So $100 if you get this prediction correct. Where's Tom Brady going?
I think he stays in New England, and I keep going back to the idea of if they don't re-sign him, what's their other options for the Patriots? What do they do? I think Brady's the best option purely on a quarterback standpoint, and I again go fallback just seeing him running around in Colts jersey.
Yeah,
just doesn't seem right. So I don't think the Patriots are making. I think he stays. I just can't. What's their other options if he's gone?
So if he goes, they have Stidham on the roster. I don't think Stidham's ready. Do they bring in Marcus Mariota and try to revive his career? Possibility. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but you're hoping. You don't know for a fact what you have. You're hoping that Mariota can turn it around. Would they explore a Teddy Bridgewater? Wouldn't it be the worst thing ever? Andy Dalton? I don't think Andy Dalton. Like, I'm looking at this. If everybody leaves, if Brady leaves, McCourty leaves, Kyle Van Noy leaves, and they need a quarterback for next year, and Bill still thinks they have a team that could be competitive, and I'm not saying win it all, but get to the playoffs. And I look at all these options. Stidham, no. Mariota, no. Bridgewater's intriguing. They'd have to trade up to get someone in the draft, unless if they really like someone that we're not talking about that falls a little bit. Maybe they love, the kid Love. That was a little bit of a tongue twister. Maybe they love Love. That could be a possibility. Maybe they like Eason. Maybe they like Fromm. Who knows? And it's tough to expect much out of a rookie in year one. So if Brady goes, the first two names I think of, Dalton and Bridgewater. And I actually think for the interim, if you're trying to get the most out of your team, and still win that division and get into the playoffs and take it from there, trading for Andy Dalton, I believe, would be the best option out of that group. I don't see Belichick signing Jameis Winston, too many turnovers. Andy Dalton isn't great. He's not bad. He's had some very good seasons at this point. He's an average quarterback. If he's in a better environment, like New England compared to Cincinnati, I think he'd be a good quarterback. That doesn't mean I think he's going to be a top 10, top 12 quarterback. I think Belichick could get something out of him. But that goes back to my point that if Brady leaves, none of these options are better. So if you're the Patriots, you got to go sign him. And then on the other hand, if you're Tom Brady, you don't go to the Chargers, you don't go to the Raiders, the Mahomes factor, you're not going to Indy. Tampa, not the worst thing in the world, because you got Godwin and Evans, but with the injuries there they're coming off of, who knows if Shaq Barrett's going to be back. That defense got better at the end of the season, but still some consistency problems. We'll see what they do in free agency. I get back to if he leaves, it's going to be Tennessee. That's the team I see. I still think he's coming back to the Pats, though.
Do you think Brady's sick of not being treated like the superstar he is, and he's ready for...
What do you mean by that, though?
I mean, when he's in the New England factory, right? It's everybody does their job. Everybody's the same. Brady's the same as everybody in accountability.
He gets
in
coached
superstar.
The same way.
Is he ready to be Tom Brady, the superstar that the rest of everybody thinks and wants that outside?
He is Tom Brady, the superstar in New England, with the way that he's perceived from the fans. Now, I hear what you're saying with Belichick. We keep on speculating this relationship's horrible. And every time they win, they're on the field, hugging, smoochy-smoochy time, and all of that. And they look like that relationship's fine. And how about the NFL Network series with the top 100 this year, where Belichick is gushing about Brady? So I think the last few years, their relationship at one time was rocky with all the Wickersham stuff. But they eventually were able to put that stuff aside. And are there maybe some times where Brady goes, can Belichick stop riding me about this one particular thing that happened in a game? But also Brady probably knows that that is what made him so great. Now, he always had the ability to be great, and Belichick always had the ability to be great, but never getting complacent, and Belichick being those checks and balances where he would get on him and you'd hear other players are coming and he would rip Brady, and it sends that tone in that facility, because Brady's going to be a warrior either way, but it sets a tone in that facility that if day one they walk in and they see Brady getting ripped, that they could get ripped if they mess up too. So I think Brady understands the game. It doesn't mean he doesn't get frustrated with it at times, but he still knows, in my opinion, that that's the best environment for him, and it's also the best environment for the Patriots to have Tom Brady there. D-Ben, Brady playing where next year?
I think he stays. I think this entire thing is a leverage play through the media because he wants a two-year, $60 million contract from the Patriots. He doesn't want to take a hometown discount. He doesn't want to sign a one-year deal, which is what they expected to happen, but that's not what he wants. And I've been thinking, why? Why at this stage of his career with no time left does he want money now? Don't you think winning would be the priority? But he just wants control. If he takes a team-friendly one-year deal, that gives the Patriots all the control about his future and if he wants to play beyond this year. If they pay $60 million over 2 years, now it's his call whether he comes back next year, and I think that's what he wants. I think he wants control over the next 2 years of his career, and he's going to earn it this way, and he's playing a very aggressive game through the media, a leverage game, really, with Bill.
Here's another leverage thought, because I gave you my thought that he's trying to put the pressure on for them to reach his demands. Maybe part of his demands are to improve the roster.
I agree.
And just maybe what you're saying could be a possibility, but maybe he's okay with taking a few million less if he gets XYZ instead of other years where he's taken that before and he's lost some players. Now, they've lost Wes Welker before and they replaced him with Amendola and Edelman. But at this point of his career, you can't take that flyer. You can't take that gamble like what it was last year where they didn't really make those replacements. They tried with Sanu. They didn't really do anything at the tight end. They brought Watson back, but he was cooked and he was injured.
And Antonio Brown. That's
and
the
Antonio
big
Brown.
Tell.
They did try with Antonio Brown.
The big
Brown.
Tell
That's
is that Brady wanted him back the whole rest of the season. Brady was upset that they got rid of him. So I think,
well, because he knew that he could win with Antonio Brown.
And they
Brown.
Need it that badly. He knows the offense needs it. So I'm with you. I think he's dissatisfied with the quality of his support from last season. He took a lot of the heat for it, and I think that's part of this too.
To transition to another topic, though, real quickly. Yesterday, we had Ben Lieber on, the former Minnesota Viking, now a part of the Vikings radio network. He told us a few things. One, he doesn't think Stephon Diggs is coming back next year. But he also brought up a possibility from chatter that he's hearing at the combine of Tua Tagovailoa. We all thought, okay, maybe Tua goes to the Lions at number three, or the Lions use that as leverage to make some trades and move back and get a haul for Tua Tagovailoa. How about the possibility of Tua going to the Redskins at number two? Here is Ben Lieber with us yesterday.
surprised if Washington makes a play at Tua as well. You know, I think right now, you look at any mock draft out there, and you talk to the majority of the experts, and they say, well, it's Chase Young at number two. Well, just because you have a quarterback in Dwayne Haskins from last year does not mean that you shouldn't still look at the future of your organization. And if you feel like your future is not in very good hands with Dwayne, contracts, be as it may now with first-round draft picks, you're not investing a ton of money like you used to. So maybe you could make a play at Tua, and all of a sudden the whole thing gets thrown in a tizzy, and I actually think it makes a lot of sense. I think if you think that Tua is going to be better than Dwayne, take him.
If Tua and Dwayne Haskins were in the same draft class, who would you pick? I would take Tua Tagovailoa, and I wouldn't even think twice about it. And I don't have many negative thoughts right now with Dwayne Haskins, but coming out of college, I think there was more buzz around Tua, even with the injuries being said. But now we're in a spot where the Redskins already drafted Dwayne Haskins. And not only did they draft Dwayne Haskins, if you remember, though, at the combine and in the draft process last year, we heard about how close Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Snyder were. Because Dwayne Haskins went to high school. This is from Warren Sharp, Sharp Football. Haskins went to high school with Daniel Snyder's son. Snyder sat in on just one interview at the combine. Who was that? Dwayne Haskins. Daniel Snyder is taking over the first round of the draft, people told Warren Sharp. Last time he did that, they traded up and they got RG3. So they drafted Dwayne Haskins. They got Dwayne Haskins after 1 year, not even a full year of him playing. Would the Redskins move on from Dwayne Haskins? And the reason why, because most years you dismiss this right away, but the reason why this is such a relevant conversation now, not only is there chatter, but a year ago, the Cardinals drafted Kyler Murray number one. And the year before that, they drafted Josh Rosen in the first round. They said goodbye to Rosen, and they took Kyler Murray number one. So if you believe, and the Redskins believe, if they do, that Tua is leaps and bounds better than Dwayne Haskins, it's definitely a possibility. There's one thing, though, for the people that work for the Redskins to think that, and then to also convince and get the owner in Dan Snyder to sign off on that. To be fair to Dwayne Haskins, though, I can't tell you I love him right now after what we saw this past year, or if I can't stand him. He only played 7 games, and that would be awfully quick to give up on him, and that team was in an abysmal state last year. Fired the coach, offensive line, Trent Williams wasn't playing. McLaurin probably was their best offensive weapon. It's tough to make that evaluation. It really is tough to make that evaluation. Except we saw something very similar with Josh Rosen. So it's something to ponder about. It's something to think about. And also, do you want to move on from Dwayne Haskins after only seeing him start 7 games and pass up on Chase Young, who many believe he's the best player in this draft? And the Redskins do have a lot of depth on that defensive line. They have some good defensive linemen. So there's a lot to think about here. Ultimately, if I had to make a prediction right now, even as fun of a topic as this is, and even though I think Tua is better than Dwayne, I do believe the Redskins take Chase Young, and then the Lions say thank you. I'm going to say they don't take Tua, but they trade that pick, and someone tries to usurp the Miami Dolphins, and they get a haul for him. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you believe the Redskins will take Tua Tagovailoa with the second overall pick? It's a Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
At Zach Gelb on Twitter. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Shady Sean checks in. He says, speaking for all Titans fans, we don't want slash need Tom Brady. You can keep him, Zach Gelb. Hashtag tighten up. I personally would rather have Tom Brady than Ryan Tannehill. And when I get back to it is, I know what Tom Brady is. Even though Ryan Tannehill had a very successful season, We've seen Ryan Tannehill be good before, and we've also seen him be horrible. There's not consistency with Ryan Tannehill. So that's why it would not be surprising to me if the Titans do all they can to try to lure the services of Tom Brady. Because maybe they don't fully believe in Ryan Tannehill. If they don't bring back, though, you know, if they don't get Tom Brady, then I think they have to bring back Ryan Tannehill. But it better be at a good price tag. And I don't know if you could commit 3 years to Ryan Tannehill because you don't want to get in one of those situations. And I think Tannehill's better than Blake Bortles, but you don't want to get in one of those situations where the Jaguars get to that AFC championship game and then, oh, let's go give Blake Bortles, I think it was a 4-year deal at the time. And then you come to the realization next year that, yeah, it was a 1-year wonder of Blake Bortles being somewhat decent. We also have Willie checking in on Twitter. He says, great to hear you again on CBS Sports Radio. Are you concerned with Tua's health? I'm not concerned about the ankle. The hip dislocation can be concerning. He's young. The only concern I have about Tua's health is maybe not so much what happened in college, but just the fact that it happened in college. How much more of a beating can he take? How many more injuries can he suffer and be able to return? The upside, though, with Tua is such a massive factor. I think a lot of people forget about where we had Tua because we're a prisoner of the moment and we saw him get hurt. Tua would have been the no doubt about it number one overall pick. If Tua never got hurt in both years, he still would have been the number one overall pick, in my opinion, compared to Joe Burrow from where his stock was. Going into this year, it was without hesitation. It was either going to be Trevor Lawrence or Tua to win the Heisman. Then Tua would be the number one overall pick. And then the next year, Trevor Lawrence was going to be the number one overall pick. With Tua getting hurt, though, it does change the conversation. With all these rumors, though, with Tua possibly going now two, or Tua probably, you know, possibly going three, or maybe at worst five, it shows what teams still think about him, even with the injuries. And there's going to be long medical examinations. He was in the hospital for hours. He was like one of the first people to leave the other day for the medicals and the last person to leave out of the quarterbacks. I also had someone text me who's listening right now. And they said, we should start a Zach Gelb Show drinking game. Every time you say Tua's full name, you have to drink. I don't think I ever called Tua just Tua. I always say Tua Tagovailoa. And I've said this before since coming back to CBS Sports Radio. There's three names that I love to pronounce. Tua Tagovailoa, also Halipulivati Vaitai of the Philadelphia Eagles. I was doing local radio in Philadelphia. That was a tough one. But once you got it, Halipulivati Vaitai, you love to say it. And the other is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Who is that? Who said that?
That was a good friend, Evan Roberts.
Oh, that was Evan Roberts. What do you have, a whole database there of Giannis drops, just wondering?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Who was that?
It was a Bulls color analyst and former forward center Stacey King.
What else do you have?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
How many years have you had these save, Mikey B?
5-6 years.
So this is right when he broke into the league and then...
This is before he was Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is like before he was...
Before everyone knew who he was.
Before he was the Greek freak. He was just Giannis Antetokounmpo and stuff.
Anyone else you have in there?
Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm never going to be able to say this guy's name right.
Antetokounmpo.
Not bad. It was pretty bad. That was Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, that was Tiki and Tierney from years ago. But these are all saved in my little folder.
Hey, you probably have some serious stuff saved in that database of people just messing things up on air, pronunciations and all.
Oh, myself included. Yeah, it's a folder of fun. That's for sure. You can get lost in it.
And well, there's a lot of times though, because here's what happens: when you read an article on the fly, you're definitely going to mess up words. I do it all the time. And then when you get a big name that you're not prepped to say and you see it on the screen, you go, habada, 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 Giannis, habada, bambumbo?
Kumumbo.
Kumumbo. When that first, well, for a long time, people thought it was Giannis.
Yeah, there was a big Giannis thing going on, and try to tell people it's Giannis.
And then it was like, take whatever guess and try however many syllables you needed for Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
But that's another player. Like, I don't usually call Giannis just Giannis. It's always Giannis Antetokounmpo. Because you put such a stress on the pronunciation to get it right, then eventually your mind just makes it flow right off the tongue for the same thing, Halepulivati Vaitai, and also Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, you're really not even thinking about it. You're just saying it. I always like listening to Ian Eagle when he does games, and I sometimes think he's showing off just how good he is at saying it. It's, like, beautiful. So he does a great job with that as well.
Music to your ears.
Yes, sir.
So there we go. The names I love the most. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Kumbumbo.
Tua Tagovailoa, and also Halepulivati Vaitai. If you have any good recommendations of tough names to say, at Zach Gelb on Twitter, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. All right, let me get to this other topic that I want to bring up. When we get to the Dwayne Haskins potential conversation of the Redskins moving on and Tua landing with the Redskins, it's that conversation of Burrow and Tua. I mean, I mentioned a little bit right at the start of this segment. Who do you think is a better quarterback? D-Ben, do you think Burrow or Tua is the better quarterback?
It's kind of a complicated question. I think Burrow is the better quarterback prospect. I also probably think he's the better quarterback.
If you were, let's just say you had the number one overall pick and you're the Bengals, would there be any thought, and where would the percentage of thought be in taking Tua Tagovailoa with the number one overall?
I mean, you'd have to look hard at Tua. You'd have to look hard at Herbert, too, but it would be like 95% to 5% for me right now.
Yeah, you have to do all your due diligence. Like, yeah, you'll look at Herbert, but there's no way Herbert's going to be the number one overall.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense because Burrow's main weakness, which I wouldn't even call a weakness, I think it's been overblown, is just overall arm strength. He doesn't have like an A-plus crazy arm for like a number one prototype pick. But neither does Tua. And now Tua's got an injury history. So I'm confused where people think Tua has an edge over Burrow, except for maybe just he's been at the level that he's currently at longer than Burrow has. Burrow really has one season where he ascended onto being a really top-level prospect level.
The arm strength thing to me is always something that I laugh at. In this case with Joe Burrow, other players it could be used for something very realistic. I don't know. With the season I just saw him play, I don't look at him and say, yeah, he doesn't have the arm strength.
When he had enough arm for every one of those throws, Zach.
Yeah, yeah, when he put up almost 6,000 yards passing and threw for 60 touchdowns and only six interceptions, I didn't sit there once and go, yeah, hold on, when we throw him under the microscope and we have to examine each and every part of his body, oh yeah, that arm strength, it's a little weak. You know, I saw him make some big, long throws, deep throws in games, and it wasn't something that I sat there and was too annoyed about. And you look last year at LSU, his longest throw was 71 yards that was completed, and this year had a 78-yard completion. Now, you know, to be fair, not 78 yards through the air. You know, there's some yak involved in that, and you never know if it's a screen pass or whatever. But the point is, regardless, you know, what the 78 and 71 were, we've seen him make some pretty damn long throws. Mikey B, right now, if you were the Bengals, is there any thought, how much thought is there of taking Tua Tagovailoa with the number one overall pick?
I think right now you have to go with Burrow. The injury status would make me concerned. If you have the number one overall pick and you saw what you saw, you have to go with what you feel is a safer bet. And I think with that reasoning, you take Burrow. Obviously, if they're in love with him and they see him at the combine and they think he's healthy and they're obviously going to get a lot better access than I could ever even imagine, then you go with Tua if you think that's the right answer. But with knowing what we saw the last couple of months and everything from both quarterbacks, I think Burrow is the answer.
I think Burrow is the answer right now because of the injuries with Tua. Even though I think Tua could still have a very good career with Burrow right now, you know, he looks like the number one overall pick. With the season he just had, with no injury concern, Tua conducts himself in a great way as well, and I think he could be a big-time success in this league. But you see the injuries to non-injuries, that has to play a factor into the conversation when you're making such a crucial pick. And I'll just be fascinated if the Bengals maybe throw a curveball at us where we're already assuming it's going to be Burrow. Maybe they have a situation like what happened in the movie Draft Day, where they have a name written down on the piece of paper and it's whoever the guy, Mac or whatever it was in the movie, number one no matter what. So, D-Ben,
if,
here's my next question. If Tua never got hurt, if he didn't have the ankle problem, if he didn't have the hip dislocation, and he was fully healthy. Do you go Tua or do you go Burrow?
It's still Burrow. Burrow just had the best college football quarterback season I've ever seen in my life. Now, you could argue that it was only one season and what about before that, but I think the biggest thing with Burrow, he won the Heisman. He was already the most hyped player. Everyone was looking to hate on this guy. Teams had a month to prepare for him. He goes into the playoff as the Heisman champion and sets it on fire anyway. When everyone knows what's coming, this guy was completely unstoppable, and he is the most accurate quarterback prospect I've ever studied.
You're right. Yeah, he had well, you do the studying. I don't do the studying that much like you do with all the scouting. When do your reports come up, by the way?
I mean, it really gets going now that the combine workouts have started today. Starting next week,
and
I
where
really
can people find that?
Getting into it. TDScouting.com.
TDScouting.com. And Burrow, you're probably right, probably has had the best single season we've ever seen from a college quarterback. And the player in draft day was Vonte Mack, no matter what. Vonte Mack, no matter what. I love that movie, Draft Day. Some people don't love it each and every year before the draft. The morning of draft day, some people may blast a little, Draft Day, Johnny Manziel. No, I watch the movie, Draft Day. When we come back, Jared Greenberg will get it going in the hoops. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.